being though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his likeness, with every increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Lord, we praise your name today as we gather today in your midst, Father, that you are here, that you hear our word, you hear the words that are coming from me, Father. They are your words, Lord. And we just know, Lord, that they will do what you said they would do. We know your promises are true, Father. We stand on those today. So we just thank you and praise your name as we open our hearts to your word and receive today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to put this down. I'm going to need two hands, I can tell. The message for today is freedom in the Spirit, a new life. It's a continuation from last message that I spoke with you on, as God gave us last time we were together, about God's grace. We're talking today about the New Testament and the glory of the New Testament as it compares to the Old Testament, which is the law. We discussed last that the law brought death, which is written on tablets of stone, which was passing away. The New Testament, which is our new covenant with the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, which is freedom, which is written on our hearts, remains for eternity. So there is a big difference, there's a big contrast in the two. And I just thank God that we live under the new covenant, the new law, the new freedom, not the law of the old covenant. When we turn to Christ, the veil would be lifted, and we are able to behold the unveiled face and glory of the Lord. Then we are transformed into his image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. That brings us to the questions, are we really free, and how do we achieve spiritual freedom in our life today? Those are the questions that we need to ask. Freedom is described, its definition is exemption from external control, interference, or regulation, the power to determine action without restraint. In Psalm 119:45, it says, God's word, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts, which is your laws. That psalm is referring to walking without control or restriction, without any limits, without putting a limit on God and what he can or can't do in our lives. In Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. When we were walking in the Spirit, we also are being called to declare the good news of the gospel, to set others free from the bondage, not just ourselves. And in Romans 8:21, from that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Set free from our sins. So as we read about what freedom really means and what God's word says about what freedom is for us in our lives, what we're talking about is spiritual freedom in our souls. Here are some questions that we would like to meditate on and ask the Lord. What or who are controlling us? What is that is the external control that is keeping us from being free? Are we held in bondage by people, places, and things of this world? Are we being led by the Spirit of God or by our own intellect and what we think? Are we putting on limits on God because we have limited thinking and capabilities of our own? Do we think we have all the answers, or do we search our soul for the truth? If we know it all and have it all, then why do we feel so lost and confused all the time? Always searching to fill the void, never really feeling a sense of completeness in our life. These are questions that the Lord put upon my heart to ask, because these are things that I ask myself sometimes on a daily basis. When we search the Lord with all our heart, you will find the answers that you're looking for. Those who have searched understand. What God is asking for us to do is to seek Him, and He will give us those answers. So it's very simple. What are the keys to unlocking the spiritual freedom? Obedience is the first key. Are we obedient to His word and what it says? In Deuteronomy 26, verse 17, you have declared this day that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in obedience to Him, that you will keep His decrees, commands, and laws, that you will listen to Him. In Romans 5:19, for just as through the disobedience of one man, which is Adam, that many were made sinners, also through the obedience of one man, which is Jesus Christ, that many were made righteous. How do we know right from wrong? God's word tells us. We make a choice to be obedient. When we do, it sits well within our spirit. We know in our spirit, because God's word is written in our hearts. So we know when we are following and being obedient to what the Lord says for us to do. We are called out of death and into life. When we are obedient to God's word, when we walk in obedience and humble, which is very important, to humble ourselves before the Lord according to the word of God, and then we are walking in the spirit of freedom. Without that humbleness taking place and submitting ourselves to Him, it's hard to be obedient. We become slaves to our own righteousness and own self-worth. When we humble ourselves before the Lord and come before Him and accept His word, we become obedient to His word, and we experience the spirit of freedom. The second key is trust. We have to trust what God's word says. In Psalm 9, chapter 9, verse 10, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. The sheep know their shepherd. Seek and you will find, says the Lord. So we know in our hearts who we are to follow. That's who we are. That's why we're here today. That's what it is that this is all about. The answers to our prayers, the answers to who we are, the answers to why we're here. In Psalm 13:5, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation." In Proverbs 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding." In your heart is where you'll find God's word. Your understanding is going to be distorted and limited. We all know that is a fact. We are confused, and why are we confused? Because we're not listening and following God's word. When confusion enters into our mind, doubt, fear, we act in the flesh and not in our spirit. And when we're not in the spirit, we are not walking in freedom. So we are constrained. We're limiting God to what he's doing in our life at that time. And that is a choice. In Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So as we are transformed from glory to glory, our trust in God grows as we are changed spiritually from the inside out. We are learning to put our trust in God, but to be led by the Spirit and walk in freedom, leaving behind the decaying flesh of our sin. The most important thing that God put on my heart to say was to leave behind. For whatever reason, there's times when we feel like we need to look back, that we feel like there's something back there. There is. There's mile markers, there's milestones that in our walk with the Lord that God has brought us from one glory to the next, that we have seen where we've come and who we were and understand who God wants us to be going forward. That is the only reason we should be looking back, to give God the glory for the accomplishments in our lives. So as we look back and we go back in our lives and we remember distinctively God's hand moving and changing us from the inside out, transforming us, that is a milestone, that is a marker in your life. And you move from glory to glory. But not look back and say, "Wow, Egypt was really nice. They fed us well. That was cool. We liked it. We're, you know, being a slave." That's the old law. That's the old thinking. We have freedom in the Lord. We do not look back. And we have no regrets. And the final key is faith. We walk boldly in faith, knowing that his word is true. In Mark chapter 5, verse 34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. Your faith will set you free." That's what Jesus is telling. Go and be free. Free from suffering. Free from bondage. In Romans 1:17, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, and righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Your faith will bring you life. In Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess the faith and you are saved." In the heart is where the Spirit of the Lord resides. You are justified, qualified for redemption through Christ. And From our hearts we declare our faith, obtaining our freedom and salvation through Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. We cannot see God, but we know that God is there working in our life. We understand, even though we don't see it, we understand it. We feel it in our spirit. It's a sense. We know he's there with us. No matter what the situation is, the good, the bad, in and out of season, the Lord is there. In Ephesians 3:12, in him and through him, faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Faith in Jesus. In 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. Now this was something that when I prepare for anything that the Lord is having me do, I see myself going back to Paul's letters a lot. And Paul is a very humble man. And as I read more about him, I start to understand the heart of God, the humbleness, what it takes to be a servant of the Lord. So as you search, sometimes you don't even understand, but God is leading you down a path. He is teaching you and he is growing you from the inside out. So as Paul writes here to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The good fight is between the battle between our flesh and our spirit. To finish the race, we understand that battle sometimes can be very, very, very tough. We sometimes want to give up. We sometimes call out, Lord, where are you? I don't see you. I don't understand. But his word says, persevere. I will give you the strength to overcome. I have finished the race, Paul says. He has persevered through his afflictions and persecution. So anyone who has read any of Paul's letters, he is always running. He is always trying, not running from the Lord. He is running, going from place to place, preaching the gospel and the good news. He is fulfilling his calling and his destiny. And in the end, he says, I have kept the faith. And here, when I read this, Paul, you can sense, takes pride in his accomplishment and looks forward to the day when he receives his crown of righteousness from the Lord. And how awesome is that? This journey in life, I've been here on this planet now 50 years. And it is a journey. And I don't think we've experienced anything that Paul has experienced. But we've experienced life through Christ. Once we got to know and submit ourselves to him, we were able to be set free by the Spirit of God. So our journey in life changes. That's where the new covenant takes hold. That's where the new promise comes in, and that's where a new life begins. Certain spiritual strongholds can feel impossible to break, but nothing is possible with God. We do not have to be held in bondage any longer. We do not have to accept the lies of the enemy. What we need to do is identify the stronghold, be obedient to God's word, trust in what it says, and walk boldly in faith, knowing it's true, declaring victory, and preparing ourselves to be transformed. There are times when we walk out in faith and we are doing the work of the Lord, and feeling the freedom of God with us every step of the way. And it feels great. It feels awesome. And then, for whatever reason, we decide, okay, well, I guess that was great. Let me go back to, where is it that I belong? And the enemy doesn't have to hold us in bondage with a cage that's got iron bars and it's got all these locks. He just leaves the door open, and we just walk right back in. And then we complain to the Lord. Why are we here? We chose to walk back. He's given us freedom. We walk in the freedom, and then we decide, okay, I forget who I am. I guess I'm supposed to be here. This is where I've been. This is where my parents were. This is where I was told I was supposed to be by the world. This is perception of what life is, not reality in God's world, in His spiritual realm. And I guess this is where I belong. But that is a lie from the pit of hell. We do not belong held captive. We belong walking in freedom to fulfill our destiny. And if we're going to just keep going back and walking back into that cage, God cannot work in us the miracles that He wants to perform in and through us. Not just for us, but for our families and the people around us. So I implore you to think about that. We are called to walk in freedom. Freedom is in the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I just want you to remember that. Chains will be broken this day. But we have to take the first step in obedience, trust in what He says, and walk out in faith knowing it's true. Until that time comes, we will be held back, we will be held in bondage, held in captivity, and we will experience no freedom in our life. In Romans 6, verse 4, we are going to read, "We are therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that Christ, Jesus as Christ, was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have life, a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once and for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." And that's God's grace. So I'm going to end today asking that we search our hearts and ask the Lord to help us with whatever it is that's holding us back from walking in freedom. We are Christians. We are supposed to be free and happy and present to this world who is dying every day, that doesn't, people that do not know Christ, we have to present to them hope. And if we're not walking in the freedom of the Lord, we cannot do that. And that is our calling. So I would like to just ask, I know Pastor has done this before, that if we can get into just small groups, And the Lord put it upon my heart to ask everyone to just stand and get into a small group. Doesn't have to be, you know, 2-3 people. Could be a group of 6 or whatever the Lord leads you. And come together in prayer for freedom, for spiritual freedom that breaks the chains of bondage and strongholds in your life. Because without that, we will not be happy. We will not have hope. We will not have peace. So when the Lord presented to me this message, He encouraged me to encourage others. That's why I'm here today. To encourage you as a body to pray for one another, to lift each other up, just like we did this morning, to break the spiritual strongholds that are holding us down and keeping us in bondage, but to set us free with this freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. So if everyone can just stand up, please, and we can just come together as small groups and just pray. Just pray for one another.